Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give tithes on all that I possess. What a great guy am I. The heart was not in the right place. The actions were there, but the heart was not in the right place. You know, if you came to church every day for a year, from the tropars and the conducts, you would hear, and the other readings that we have at the hours and at baptism, so you would hear the teachings of the church. As we all sang today in the conduct for the Pharisee, publican and the Pharisee, was what? The humble heart. Talking about the humble heart. That's the whole basis of that parable by the Lord, was to talk about the heart that needs to be present as we repent and as we fast. Okay? Here, he's so proud and sure of himself that he's confident God could not help him. Notice what a great guy he was. And surely the publican could not have examined his conscience very well, or he would have seen his own sins and would not have been so self-righteous in judging his brother's, the publican's, sins. I was hearing confessions in another parish. It wasn't here. And the parish may have been torn by factions. And so many were telling me that they were, you know, overcome with the sin of judging the others in the parish. So each of them, I said, name for me the person you feel is the holiest person here. Nobody named themselves, fortunately. Okay. I said, well, every time you're tempted with that sin, reflect on that person. And realize, since that you have feelings too, right? And you wouldn't want that person you feel that is so good to be judging you. You likewise should not be judging others. Right? Judging others. If we keep our sins before us, it's an excellent way to remember we are in fact sinners. Now, it doesn't mean that we're remembering our sins because we're unsure if they've been forgiven. If we have confessed, and the priest is given the words of absolution, those sins are forgiven. But it means to remember our sins that we know we're sinners and that we can relapse at any time, up to the moment of our death. You heard me tell this story. I thought it was a great line, okay? Some of my secretaries went to this stop smoking clinic. And the big motto this fellow had that taught this clinic was, a puff away from a pack a day. That to always remember, if you took one puff, you'd be smoking the whole pack by the time the day is over. And having been a smoker for a number of years, okay, back when the Army actually issued cigarettes with your rations, believe that or not, okay, I can attest to that, because I truly believe it's a puff away from a pack a day. And if I'm ever tempted, I remember that. And that's what we should do ourselves, is say, listen, I have fallen in the past. I know where the temptations are. You know, what is it that leads me to sin? And then we try to avoid those temptations. We don't get puffed up, go, oh, now I'm really a good person, so I can go and I can encounter these temptations and they won't hurt me. Now, that's the kind of thing Satan's just waiting for us to do, right? So, David was a great sinner, and he penned the 51st Psalm. And let's take a look at a part of that. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your great mercy, according to the abundance of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my lawlessness and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my lawlessness and my sin is always before me. You see? So David had a lot to repent for, right? He was an adulterer and even a murderer. And he knew it was only by God's grace that he could keep from doing all those bad things again. By the way, that psalm is the one we require the deacons to memorize and for them to be reciting as they incense. If we had a deacon, he would be incensing the church at the beginning. So, well, he would do all the incensing. Okay? Let's compare this to the publican. He knew his sins and he begged for forgiveness, his heart being broken. So let's look at today's gospel reading again. Go back just briefly and look. I can get all my little ribbons straight. Okay. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. But isn't that what we're supposed to be praying, basically, in the Jesus prayer? Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And if we feel that we can't pray that prayer because we have no sins, then we have sin. We have our sin of pride that we can be begging God to forgive us. Okay? So Jesus said that it was the tax collector that would be justified, meaning made right with God. And this is as David goes on to say in his 51st Psalm. And let's look at the 51st Psalm again, and a little further on. A sacrifice to God is a broken spirit, a broken and humble heart God will not despise. A broken and humble heart. That's for us to have. This is the point of the parable. To repent, we must have a broken and contrite heart. That is a humble and penitent heart. Humility and repentance. And repentant humility and repentant sorrow are the predicates for the transforming of our lives from sinners to followers of Christ. Because in the humble and contrite heart, there God dwells. James, quoting from Proverbs, writes this. First, quoting from Proverbs, he writes, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. An excellent proverb for us to remember. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He goes on then to write, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. And then he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Why is humility so important to the spiritual life? Because it's the virtue that is the opposite of the passion of pride. And pride is the cause of most sin. Again, looking at Proverbs, it's written in the 16th chapter. Pride goes before destruction and folly before a fall. A gentle mind with humility is better than he who divides spoils with the proud. Anger comes because things don't go the way we want. Or we feel slighted because we are not treated as we think we should be. So we see our pride. Stealing comes because we think that we're entitled to more than we have. Gossiping happens because by tearing someone else down, we think we look better. Or we're in the know and people will think we're somebody who's got all the knowledge of what's going on. Material excess exists because we deserve it. Even the commercials, you hear me say over and over, right? Put praise on that. You deserve it, whatever it is they're trying to sell. Disobedience to the teachings of the church and even to God's commandments are because we think that we know better than God and the church what is right and what is proper and what is good for us. And so on. There are priests who are disobedient to their bishop because they think they know better. There are parishioners parishioners who don't want to hear from the priest. I don't like him, or he's wrong, I know better. I don't want to do what the church says because it's not really good for me. This way else is better. And we can bring that into our life. I don't want to do what the boss says, but he's a dummy and I know better than he is. And what does that lead us to? Usually getting fired, right? Or court-martialed. Without humility, all of the fasting in the world will avail us not if it is done in a true, if it is not done in a true spirit. Two negatives, right? It's not going to help us at all if we don't go with a humble heart. We can be fasting so that we feel good about ourselves, right? That could be our heart. What value is that? We could be fasting just to prove what good Orthodox Christians we are. What value is in that? We can be fasting to feel superior to others spiritually. What value in that? We can be fasting to be seen by men. What value in that? It is only when we fast with a humble sense of contrition, desire to change, all done for only one reason, and that is that we might be closer to God. Only then will our fasting be to our benefit. Sometimes our orthodoxy can be triumphal. That is, we feel superior to others just because we're orthodox, and we want to avoid that. This is exactly the type of hypocrisy that Jesus was condemning in this parable. So let's examine ourselves and see our sins. Sins committed despite our communion, despite our confession, despite the grace of baptism and chrismation, and even, God help me, despite the grace of the priesthood. When we think that as Orthodox Christians, God has been so good to us to make us members of the true church founded by his blood, and that he pours out his graces in the sacraments to us, and all we have to do is ask. And when we then think about how sinful we are, truly we should be like the publican and just beat our breast and ask for God's mercy, because so much has been given to us. If we're humble in our hearts, if we tear down the curtain of pride, we'll see that we're in need of more prayer, more fasting, more scripture reading, more almsgiving in order to tame our passions and to increase our virtues. So then today's reading tells us that humility is the predicate for productive fasting. We're to be as humble then and as unpretentious as a child. And this is a great passage. This is a wonderful admonition that the Lord, and he used the children to demonstrate it. And Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." And then he says this, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So as children seeking to be in the kingdom of heaven, let us humbly participate in the coming great fast. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.